In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us again. As we've been talking the last couple of times about being as happy and thankful as we choose to be, Pastor John, there have been numbers of things that have crossed our paths, people that we've recognized had to make a choice. You mentioned a couple of broadcasts ago about Joseph and how he had to make that choice for 13 years. Wow.
He had every reason to be bitter.
Yeah, your brothers sell you to slavery right after they talk about killing you.
And then Potiphar, falsely accused by his wife.
Yeah.
And Potiphar doesn't believe him, throws him in jail. His two buddies, he interprets the dreams, forget it. One dies, the other one forgets.
So where is God in that whole situation? See, so many times, the times of tension are times of testing. But we don't recognize it.
The flesh certainly doesn't appreciate it.
Because we haven't been praying for times of testing. And so God sends him anyway. And he says, okay, I know what's in your heart, and you're not happy. You're not contented. You're not at peace. And so I'm going to give you a little test so you can see what's in your heart and see how miserable you are because of it. Because no Christian is ever a great testimony unless he's passed the test.
And that's what a loving father does to his child, is brings them to a place where they can see their sin so as to turn from it.
Right. So as we look back at our thoughts of gratefulness, number 5, a grateful heart will be revealed and expressed by thankful words, while an ungrateful heart will manifest itself in murmuring and complaining. Murmuring, and by the way, that's not a spiritual gift.
It's certainly exercised a lot
in the church. That's the truth, you know. But a grateful spirit enables you to view and respond to the most unpleasant things with thanksgiving. I was reminded of the story of Sir Walter Scott. He was the leading literary figure in the entire British Empire. Nobody could write as well as he could. Then the works of Lord Byron began to appear, and immediately folks started talking about how fantastic his writings were, and soon an anonymous critic praised Lord Byron's poems in a London paper. In fact, he declared that in the presence of these brilliant works of poetic genius, Scott could no longer be considered the leading poet of England. It was later discovered that the unnamed reviewer had been none other than Sir Walter Scott himself. And that is amazing, isn't it?
True humility.
That's a truth that he is able to just simply say, here's a new guy, and he's doing a fantastic job, and I just want to lift him up. And I tell you what. What a testimony that is. Psalm 33:1 says, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. That word comely means attractive and beautiful. Praise is beautiful for those that are upright. And so that's a grateful heart that's revealed by my expressions, by my conversation. I've often thought some people look at roses, and they complain that they've got thorns all over them, instead of looking at thorns and rejoicing that they have roses all over them. It's the cup half full, half empty attitude.
Well, it's back to perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at someone who has more gifts, more talent, more blessings, you can look at it from a coveting perspective, I don't have, or you can turn around and look at, look what God is producing.
Right, right. And the production is a sweet smell. It's attracting. And that, of course, is what I should be attracting people to Jesus.
You know, the difference between content And contentions is the shun. What do you shun?
Oh, that's good. You shun those things that will bring you down. Somebody said, when you get down on your knees. And how true that is. Whenever I get down, I need to get down on my knees.
Yeah, without prayer, I don't see how it's even possible to have contentment
right.
without times and seasons and regular practice of prayer.
Oh, that's the truth. You know, when I was a young boy, my dad had some commentaries that when I went off to college, I asked him if I could borrow them.
Borrow permanently?
Well, yeah, that's kind of what happened because they're still in my study upstairs. And they were written by Matthew Henry. He was a well-known commentator of the 19th century. And he tells the story of being robbed on an open road. And so he wrote in his diary, quote, "Let me be thankful first because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they didn't take my life. And then third, I'm going to be thankful because although they took my all, it wasn't much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed." So you look at this guy and he lost all the money he had, but he just went back to write down the blessings of being robbed. Now, I don't know that that would have been something that I would have done. Like, well, praise God, I got robbed today, or my house burned down. Wow, let me write down the blessings of that. But that is what we're talking about, isn't it?
It is, and it goes back once again to perspective.
Mm-hmm.
If you're more concerned about the glory of God, you're more concerned about the salvation of others, and you start to realize that you have great riches in heaven
right.
that is waiting for you, then everything is an opportunity of gain mm-hmm. rather than an opportunity of loss.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we've heard the name David Brainerd that was a devoted missionary to American Indians. He died at the age of 30. He was characterized by such a thankful spirit that on one occasion he was visiting some friends and he suddenly developed a toothache and a shivering cold. And so during the night he was attacked with a high fever, great pain throughout his entire body. But he thanked God, listen to this, that this distress had fallen upon him while he was among friends instead of out by himself in the wilderness. Another time, he was ill in a little hut, suffering tremendous pain, and he again found grounds for gratitude. He penned in his diary, quote, "Blessed be the Lord. I'm not exposed to the open air. I have a house and many comforts to support me," end of quote. Another time, facing long weeks of solitude as he was out in the swamps and over the mountains and through the dark nights, and he said, to quote, "What reason for thankfulness have I on account of this retirement?" He explained that contact with people many times afforded him friendship and companionship of the world, but loneliness drove him to experience intimate fellowship with his Lord. Perspective.
And turning to who? The Lord.
Exactly, right. So many times when we're lonely and discouraged, we don't go to prayer, we go to our best friend, who may not turn us back to the Lord. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Did you sue for grace, my brother, that you might forgive another who had lost his way? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change the night to day. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. And so we see a grateful heart will be revealed and expressed by thankful words. But an ungrateful heart will be seen so many times by complaining and murmuring and griping and just fussing. Just fussing. Well, number six, a thankful people are refreshing, life-giving, while unthankful people seem to kind of pull everybody down into these stagnant pools of their selfish, demanding, miserable ways. Because attitudes affect attitudes. And somebody said that your attitude will determine your altitude. How high you will actually go in life will be determined by your attitude. But attitudes are infectious, aren't they? They're contagious. And when I'm around somebody that is singing and maybe whistling an encouraging Christian song, it just kind of helps me to refocus my thinking.
You know, reading the stories behind some of the great hymns can be a great reminder.
Oh, yeah.
You may be seeing these difficulties vicariously, but they're great reminders that, hey, what has come before you has come before others.
Mm-hmm.
And saints have found a way to rise above it. You know, it's fascinating to me. You think of Job, right? After everything happened to him, he says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I shall return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. But his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die."
Yeah, yeah. See, Satan didn't kill his wife, killed all the rest of the kids. Didn't kill his wife because he could use his wife to try to get him discouraged.
Well, she was bitter too. And this was a difficult situation.
Right.
Absolutely supernatural consequences.
Right.
And so we understand and we can empathize.
Right.
But Job shows us the way, doesn't he?
So Satan was tempting him, but Mrs. Job was definitely being affected by it all.
Yeah. And that's the difference, is Job worships.
Right.
And in that worshiping finds contentment.
Right. So we've said then that attitudes affect attitudes. They're contagious. So gratefulness is equally contagious. You remember the story of Pollyanna? You know, the little orphan child who was sent to live with her cantankerous old aunt who didn't want her. And the whole climate of that house and the community literally transformed as Pollyanna introduced a joyless and thankless town to the glad game. And I didn't watch many of those programs, but I remember watching that one, and I thought, the glad game? But at first, everybody made fun of her. She looked for something to be glad about in every situation, but ultimately, the whole town was transformed by her attitude. And what a testimony that should be to us as believers, that we certainly have something to be thankful for and happy.
Unfortunately, now, that is used as a term of derision.
Yes, yes.
People are put down
right.
If they are bright and enthusiastic like mm-hmm. Pollyanna.
Right, right. But the Bible says, "This is the day the Lord hath made. We will
rejoice
and be
glad
in it." The key word there is "we will be." In other words, our wills are involved. It's a choice. This is the day the Lord hath made. Hard, dark, difficult. Yeah. But I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Well, folks, we've kind of come to the end of our broadcast, and it could be that the circumstances of your life are making it very difficult. Give thanks, because the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So, look to Christ. Trust Him as your Savior if you haven't. If you have, be a testimony of His grace, just as Ruth was in her time of need. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
Thanks, Pastor Greg. And if any of you are interested in today's study notes, please email us at wfl@brooksidebc.org. And we'll be sure to email those study notes to you right away.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.